It's been a while. So, y'all in trouble. You heard Brother Josh, huh? Get a second CD ready. Wow, it's good to be in God's house. Amen. Well, we want to say we're happy to have everyone here, all of you. We appreciate the Lord and His goodness and what He's doing here at the church and where He's taking us. I sense in the atmosphere that we're about to have a breakthrough. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be incredible. Breakthrough's coming, and it's going to respond to the prayers that's going to go up before the Lord, those that have been going up and what will go up. And it's not going to be a struggle in this breakthrough because God's going to prepare people's heart to repentance and true forgiveness. Listen, you don't go look around. You're not looking for a place. You're not looking for a God. You submit to Him. You commit your life to Him. You cry. Listen, when's the last time? Can you remember you cry before the Lord? You open your heart. Because the struggles we have and the difficulties we're going through, they're real. It's not that they're not real, but God is real. And He can fix all of it. Everything you go through, He can fix. But you got to give it to Him. That's what prayer, our time of prayer is going to happen. We're going to give them. All your kids, every one of them. All your children, give them to Him. Let Him do it. Don't interfere. The husband, the wife, the neighbors, give them to the Lord. Don't interfere anymore. As much as you want to. It's what we want to do. We think listen, if we had the answers, we'd have fixed it a long time ago. None of us have the answers, but He's the answer. The only hope for America is God. That's the only hope we have. He knew we needed a Savior, so He sent us one. We need a Savior. We need a way, the truth and the life, and He sent it to us. So I was in this series, and we had a little break. I don't know even how long it's been. About 3 weeks or so. I'm in this Galatians series, and then our feast days came, and so I said, look, I'm going to stop the Galatians series. Y'all take it, do the feast day preaching. And I enjoyed sitting there and just listening to everybody preach. It was incredible. I loved it. And so I thank God for all the men that took some time to study and to minister the word to us. And I want to just and thank y'all and encourage y'all and tell you how much it ministered to me. Ministered to my life, touched my life. And I'm proud of each one of you that took the time. I know what type of dedication that takes. I know what type it takes. I know that you got to open up your life to Him, and it's scary. I know all about that. So just listening to you, I know you did that. You gotta be open to the Lord. You gotta be vulnerable to the Lord. You gotta be transparent. You gotta let Him see inside your life spots that you don't want nobody else to see. But that's the only way the anointing comes. It don't come no other way. It comes that way. And when it happens, you don't want to go back. Trust me, you never want to go back because there's something about feeling that closeness of God that's so real, you don't even know why in the world won't everybody want this. You can't figure it out, but God's showing you this is why you're preaching. He said, I use the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. That's what He said. That's what I use. I use simple stuff. It don't make sense to a lot of people, but you say what I tell you to say, and I'll do the rest. I'll take that word on wings of an eagle. You cast it on the water, it won't return void. It'll accomplish the thing whereunto it is sent. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces asunder, divides the soul, the spirit, and the joint and marrow. Discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. This thing is real. That's what you let the word do. God puts it in your spirit, and it flows from your lips. You are nothing but a conduit for it to get to somebody. But when it does, you can only sit back and trust that the same God that caused it to be faith in your life will produce that in someone else's life. It's a powerful thing. when we just had our feast days, and then we went right into Koinonia. Koinonia, all the ministers were here, just left yesterday. And I tell you what, powerful stuff happened. Maybe you didn't witness it, but I stood back in awe, and I witnessed the power that God did this Koinonia with people being hungry. Not everybody's hungry, and maybe they're just not there yet. So you don't judge the whole event by one person. You say, Lord, wherever you want me, that's what I want to be used. And that's what we've seen. We've seen that. And let me tell you, there's people that I met and people that I talked to, this Koinonia, they're crying out, we need to know the truth. We need the truth. We want the truth. We want the truth. But you better be ready to handle it, because it's coming. Whether it be by me or somebody else, it will come. God will reveal himself. And he'll reveal himself in a real way. And that's what I saw this year. He's going to reveal himself. So I'm going to try my best to get back in this whole Galatians series. And hopefully I'll do it. I can catch back up and get where I need to be. So I'm not sure if it'll if I need to stop somewhere. Or we'll see if this thing will work, Phil. You might have to make sure we connect it back in the back, and we'll go from there. But when you leave a series for that length of time, it really gets troublesome when you're trying to get it all back together. But we're definitely... We have about four weeks, maybe five, to finish this. So I'm hoping that we can do that. Hopefully it'll work out. All right, here we go. We got it. All right. Well, we stopped. I was talking about in the fifth chapter. I was dealing with some things in that fifth chapter of Galatians. And I want to... continue in the fifth chapter. And what I was dealing with was those who walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is a difference. There's definitely a difference in walking in the Spirit than having a move of the Spirit. So I'm going to share that. Philip, I'm not sure we got the right one up or not, but is it? You notice it's all about Philip getting us together. How does that look? All right. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So everybody, give me some time here to kind of catch everybody back up. Where have we been? I was talking about Saul and what happened in the life of Saul. How he knew how to walk. He knew how to have a manifestation of the Spirit. What's manifestation? Well, a lot of people think, well, if I'm emotional, or maybe if I speak in tongues or I prophesy, all of those things are manifestations of the Spirit. It lets you know, because he said, and when they spoke in tongues, he said that was the witness that the Spirit had come. The evidence came that they had it. So it's one thing about having it. Then what do you do with it? Well, you can get something that comes on you momentarily, but not listen to it, and you don't know how to walk in it. That's the difference. Saul had the Spirit come on him, so much so that he prophesied. He was named among the prophets, yet he died by falling on his own sword. His own sword, he killed himself because he couldn't handle defeat. He couldn't handle that his sons, he watched them die, and he said, I can't handle this no more, and he died. He put his sword and fell on it. He is the king of Israel, the king. You know why he did that? He didn't know how to walk in the Spirit. And when you don't know how to walk in the Spirit, you'll start out fine, You might have enough of when the manifestation of the Spirit happens, it may push you along for some time. Maybe a week or two, maybe a month or two, maybe a year or two. It'll push you along. You're doing fine. Everything's great. But all of a sudden, the same God that you shouted about, you sang about, that you cried over, you don't cry over him no more. You don't shout about him no more. And I always often wondered, God, what is wrong? You question yourself. You say, Lord, why can't people get it? Why can't they get it? And you go home and you go, you don't know what to do. You really don't. I ask Charlotte so many times, what's going on? Why won't it happen? You preach as hard as you can preach and you wonder what's going on in the lives of people. I can tell you now, I don't wonder anymore. They don't know how to walk in the Spirit. There's a difference. And so what happens, people get used to manifestation. And that's all they want. They get addicted to manifestation. That's what they want. That's where the church went. That's where the church world went for a long time, the Pentecostal movement especially, and charismatic movement, Assembly of God, all of those groups of people, the Word of Faith, everybody went into manifestation, and they got to manifesting so much that when the enemy come and manifest through them, they couldn't tell the difference. And they get in these weird things. Well, let me just tell you about manifestation. Even Pharaoh's magicians threw their rods down and they turned to serpents. Never forget that. But never forget the fact that the Almighty Yahweh, his gobbled them up. Because he's greater. How many understand that? Now, the one that we're serving, the one that we're testifying about, singing about, that's the one that's greater. But we still can't get confused. The moment you start meddling in manifestation, you get in error. You got to walk that thing out. You got to walk in the Spirit. You can speak in tongues or have a prophecy on a Sunday morning, but Monday come, you want to fight people. That ain't walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, you humble yourself, you walk away when you know you're right. Because the Spirit says, don't fool with that. That's okay. Just remember, every time you do that, that's the same lick that Jesus took. How many ready to take a lick for him? If he can take the lick, who am I? Am I better than him? Sometimes we got to get spit on and get our beard plucked. Crowns and thorns in our head mocked and ridiculed. Are we above that? Are we above that? We're not above that. We ought to learn. We got to humble our hearts before God. And we got to say, God, what I want is what you want. And if you see, and listen, we haven't been through near that stuff. It's just those things. We've got to remember, sometimes it's not worth me saying anything. Sometimes it's just better to be quiet and keep the anointing of God than say something and lose the anointing. And that's what Saul did. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. Well, I tell you what, I'll handle this. Where's Samuel? Where's Samuel? I'll handle this. I got this. And he went ahead and done the service of Samuel, the prophet, and he got an error because of manifestation. I'm a prophet. You got that right, I'm a prophet. You was a prophet because God saw fit to prophesy through you. But you're nothing but the king. And you can't forget that. You need God. And he went in error. That's where we left off. I was talking about that. And then I was going to the next one I was going to deal with, that's the life of Saul, and I won't cover all those verses again, but I was going to... Then I went to the walk in the Spirit and the life of Balaam. Balaam is a very important person in the Scripture. So I'm going to go through all of these. I didn't cover this, but I want to go through all of these so we grab hold to the life of Balaam and his significance in the history of Scripture and how God used that. So what we're dealing with is that in Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It won't happen. Listen, let me just tell you, it's impossible to fulfill the lust of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. Let me just tell you. I heard from my ministers throughout the feast days, and they were talking about different ones, talking about we're at war. This is not a joke. We're at war. Every day you get up, every day when your eyes open, you come to a conscious state where you know that it's good morning. Your flesh is against you. Do you understand that? Your flesh is against you. It is struggling to be the leader of the day. The moment your eyes open, it automatically wants to be the leader. But those who walk in the Spirit, the first thing they say, Father, I just thank you today that you're in charge. You're going to guide my life. My flesh won't do what it wants to do. You're going to guide me. And I'm going to take direction from you. The flesh doesn't like that. But that's just the way it is. That's those who walk in the Spirit. And they immediately give their life over. And then the flesh will be fine with it. But if he can rule, he will. That's the fight you're in. You're at war. Not to mention the adversaries out there encouraging the flesh. Here's what he does. He's encouraging the flesh. Because remember, outside of that gate, in order for him to rule your life, he has no power. I'm going to say that again. Satan has no power over you unless you allow him the entry into your flesh. No power. He can't make you do anything. And so these are important issues that we have to look at. So we're going to, let's look at the life of Balaam just for a minute. Numbers 23, verse 5, he says this, and Yahweh put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak. Now, if Yahweh put the word there, I would call that a manifestation of the Spirit. Who put the word there? Yahweh put the word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up this parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, have brought from me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. How shall I curse whom El hath not cursed? Notice what Balaam says. How shall I curse whom El has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom Yahweh has not defied? Very important. So he understood that there was a structure of authority that he couldn't surpass. He couldn't surpass that structure. It was already set by God. Now, you could be a prophet, but you're not above God. If you prophesy outside of that realm, then God will chastise those who do it. And we see that throughout Scripture, that he chastised. Numbers 23, verse 16. Now, you got to remember what Balak did. Balak said, I want you to come and curse Israel. Because he knew that Israel was his enemy. I want you to come and prophesy a curse against him. And he was going to pay him money to do it. He basically hired him to curse them through prophecy. In Numbers 23, verse 16, and Yahweh met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again to Balak. Notice that. He met him, put a word in his mouth. And say, go again to Balak and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the prince of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, what hath Yahweh spoken? And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. El is not a man. So what he was clearing up is he's at a different level than we are. Just remember that. God is at a level all his own. That's what that's saying. He said, let me tell you. He said, let me tell you that this fight you want to get in, you're going to get yourself killed. You're going to be dead. Because he's not a man. Now, if you're going to fight with men, men and men fight. They're on the same plane. But when you fight with God, he said, that's above us. And he clears that up by simply saying, El is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Different level. If he said it, it'll be done. And hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. What did he receive a commandment to do? What did he pay him to do? Curse. But I received the commandment from El to bless. And he had blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Let me see that. That's powerful. I can't do anything with this. Manifestation. This is all manifestation. He's getting direct. He's directly being talked to by Yahweh. He's talking to Balaam. In all accounts, most of the people with Balaam's doing what he's doing, he would fit right in church. Amen. He'd be the guy to stand up and prophesy. Everybody loved Balaam. But God had some issues with him because he didn't know how to walk in the Spirit. Now, you'd think after all this manifestation that God manifested in Balaam's life, that he would kind of get it after so much manifestation. But let's read on. Numbers 24, verse 1 and 2. And Balaam saw it, pleased Yahweh to bless Israel. And he went not, as at other times, to seek enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Notice this. He's noticing something, right? So he's kind of got a little glimpse of walking in the Spirit. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of Elohim came upon him. Think about that. The Spirit of Elohim came upon him. He is the Spirit of God on his life. And he took up his parable. Now watch what happens when the Spirit of God comes on you. And he said, Balaam, son of Beor, had said, and the man whose eyes are open had said, he had said, which heard the word of El and knew the knowledge of the Most High. What did he know? The knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. And this is what he said. And I shall see him, but not now. Now he's prophesying. Now he's prophesying about Yeshua. Now that's deep manifestation. Because there wasn't a whole lot of this going on as yet. But Balaam says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Notice that. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And we read that, we think, well, that's got to be some prophet of God that said these words. That's Balaam. Never forget that. Why did he say that? Because the Spirit of God came on him. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. Manifestation. You can have a sense of feel of the Spirit. You can go to church and have manifestation. You come to church, you sing a song, you hear the message, and you feel something. Manifestation. That's God letting you know, I'm here and I love you. Walking in the Spirit is when you go home, and day after day, you still continue to walk in that same anointing. You don't let the outside influence affect who you are. And that's what it takes to make it in the kingdom. You got to learn how to walk it out. You got to learn how to walk in the Spirit and not just have manifestation. Because if you wait all week in order to feel it when you come back, you're not going to survive that very long. Let me just put it this way. If your Christian walk with God feels better to you on Sunday than it does on Monday, your walk is not very good. Because he's the same God on Monday as far as I'm concerned. Come Tuesday, he's still Yahweh. Wednesday, hey, Yahweh. Thursday, Father, I thank you. Every day, it doesn't make no difference. God doesn't change. He's not some Sunday God in order for people to come over here and just say, well, I go to church on Sundays. Well, there's going to be a lot that says, Lord, Lord, and shall not enter the kingdom of God. A lot of folks. Well, I go, I preach. I teach. I do all sorts of things. You can have manifestation, but not learn how to walk in the Spirit. What did Paul say? I tell you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How you can tell you're walking in the Spirit? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I know I'm doing good in the Spirit? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you start fulfilling the flesh's desires over God's desires, you're not walking in the Spirit. How many want to walk in the Spirit? There shall come a star out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. So here's telling us. Now we're going to shift gears and show you what happened to Balaam. So far, he's getting a word from the Lord. And let me tell you, prophetic word came true. Everything Balaam said was a fact. Why? Manifestation of the Spirit of God. Spirit of God came on him. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1. And 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Yeshua Messiah, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of Elohim and our Savior Yeshua Messiah. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Yahweh and of Yeshua our Master. According as his majestic power had given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and holiness, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the majestic nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How many want to escape? Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And he tells us what to do. We're talking about it growing. And we're going to show you where Balaam didn't do this. So here's what you and I want to do. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, holiness. And to holiness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. So you got to do these things. So you got to learn that once you come to know the Lord, there's some things that you got to add. Notice what he says. He said, beside this, besides what? And he's talking about that in previous, he's talking about whereby given unto succeeding great and precious promises. He's talking about the Spirit of God, that by these you might be partakers of the majestic nature. I mean, you know, you can be in that realm that God wants you to be in. How many ever felt that you're praying and seeking the Lord and reading your Bible, and all of a sudden you stepped in the majestic nature? Well, he tells us how to stay there. Isn't that amazing? Having escaped corruption, because you didn't bring corruption in there with you. You escaped it. You can't get in there with corruption. You escape corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You escape that. You got in that majestic nature. And beside this, how many see that next verse? And beside this, giving all diligence to your faith, add to your faith. And here's what you add. You got to add to your faith. Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, holiness. And to holiness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. For if these things be in you, if these things, we got just finished talking about, be in you and do what? Not just in you, but abound. They abound. They're in the forefront. That's what leads you. They're not in the back seat, on the back burner, on the shelf. They abound. They make you that you shall neither be what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Master Yeshua Messiah. Isn't that amazing? If you're doing those things, you won't be barren. You won't be unfruitful in the knowledge of the Master Yeshua Messiah. You won't. It can't happen. You're going to have wisdom beyond your years. Verse 9, but he... That notice when he starts with a but, it's going to shift gears. But he that lacketh these things is blind. What? Blind? He that lacketh these things is blind. That's what Balaam was. You say he wasn't blind? He couldn't see the angel. The donkey had to tell him. I'd say that's blind. You got a big old angel there with a sword about to kill you. And a donkey turned around and said, hey, dude, you're going to get us both killed. Instead of him paying attention, he got a 2x4 banging on the donkey. Why are you hitting me? I serve you all this time. You're going to beat me? I'm trying to stop you from getting your life destroyed. I would call that blind. Balaam was blind. Now listen what he says. But he that lack these things, lack what? Adding to your faith virtue. I mean, you can't lack those things. You step into that, you left corruption behind, the lust of the flesh got under submission, you learn how to walk in the Spirit, you're going to enter in. That's what happens. You feel the glory of God comes on, you can't even speak to yourself. And you're not trying to put this on, nobody's around. It's one thing to cry when you got people around, but ain't nobody there but you and God. And you feel that glory come on you, something about it. You escaped the corruption and you stepped in. He said, if you don't continue to do these things, you'll lack these things and you'll be blind and cannot see afar off. And have forgotten that he was purged from his what? Old sins. How many of you see how this can come back? It can creep back in. It creeps back in. It's just the way it is. The same thing that happens with folks that are struggling with any types of addictions. It creeps back in. You're being seduced. There was a little something that I said this morning. I was going over my studies, and it's this deception that he don't want us to be. It goes on further in the lesson because he's talking about don't be deceived. And that word is pharmakeia. And it's where we get the word pharmacist from. And the woman, the Bible says that the harlot had the cup of wine. And she used the wine to deceive pharmakeia, you. It's where we get pharmacy from, the drugs. It's to put people... See, when you're on drugs, you're under a spell. And that's what the enemy uses. He uses that spell to keep people where their mind can't think straight. That's what does it. You can't think straight. You're under that control. Anybody can witness to what I'm telling them to be the truth. So when a guy who's been struggling with that, he gets in trouble, whatever happens in his life, and then he's trying to get out of that, he comes and he peeks into the anointing. He sees what it is, but that control is there. Pharmakeia is still there. Deception is still there. I'm telling you this so we know what, when we pray on Thursday, what we're going to pray against. I tear down every sign of pharmakeia through the drug scene to come off of people's life in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the only way they're getting out, by the way. They're not getting out any other way. Well, Lord, I just want them to see. They can't see. They're blind. They ain't going to get out until we pinpoint the pharmakeia's got them. That's what's got them. It's where, and that, Lord, I was just going over that. I said, Lord, at some point I'm going to get on that. And he said, you're getting on it now. Because I didn't make a note of it. I just said, as I was getting ready in worship, I said, Lord, whatever you want me to say, you got to remind me of it because I have no notes. I just got these scripture here. You got to tell me what to say. And he reminded me because we need to pray that away. You get all of these, you know, you get people who, I think about this. They've been bound by this deception, this form of care for so long. That's the thing that the enemy holds over them. But if I come against that and break that barrier through prayer. If I break that barrier through prayer, what happens, it's almost like the hole has been so tough. How can you get through it? And then all of a sudden prayer cuts it for momentary. It's all it takes. Remember how quick the word is. Quick. Powerful. You cut it through prayer, it allows the flood of the Spirit of God to go in and break the chains and things will open up for them. Start praying that any type of addiction, I don't care what it is, it comes from the word deceive or deception. And so we want to make sure that we cover that in this. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Master Meshua. But he that lack these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Amen? Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You got to be diligent. I mean, no, you got to be diligent. What it means to be diligent? Do you work on it once a week? Ain't much diligence there. You got to keep doing it. You got to be at it. Steady at it. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, the things we just talked about, if you do these things, you shall never fail. I like that word, that comment there. You shall never fail. That's positive. You want to see how you quit failing? You say, every time I try to do something, I fail. Well, I just read to you what you can do that you never fail, ever. That's the way that God set it up. Are you going to struggle? Sure you're going to struggle. You're going to have difficulty? Yes, you'll have difficulty. It's just the way it is. You're in a war. You're in a battle. It's constant. But you never fail. It's confidence. It's encouraging. If you know who's going to win before you see the game, think about that. Where would you put all your energy toward? The winning side or the losing side? Always the winning side. That's exactly what you'll do in serving God. If you know who's going to win, you're going to put your energy and your focus on the winning side. That is very important. So, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, unto the everlasting kingdom of our Master and Savior, Yeshua, Messiah. That's what he's saying. And he goes on, verse 12, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. What is he saying? No matter how established you are, they still need to be repeated over and over and over and over again. I want y'all to mark this down. Mark it down right now. No matter how long I preach, no matter how many times I get an opportunity, I'm always going to remember to make sure to put them in remembrance of this, because that's what he commands us to do. So you mark this down. If you ever preach, if you ever get an opportunity to share, all the ministers in here, you make sure that you, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of this, because he calls it negligence if you don't. Notice what he said, verse 12. Mark this down and look, highlight verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. No matter how long they've been saved, though you know them, why? And be established in present truth. We know ye there. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, meant as long as he was alive, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Master Yeshua has showed me. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Master Yeshua, Messiah, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Let me see that. Verse 17, for he received from Yahweh the Father honor and glory. Who received that? Yeshua did. And that's what we're talking about now. We're talking about Yeshua. He's telling us, Peter says, he received, and he tells us who he received honor and glory from. The Father. Let me see that. Yahweh is the Father. When there came such a voice to him from the excellence glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Remember that on the mountain. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the holy mountain. That's talking about that transfiguration. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed unto, take heed as unto light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. No prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. He's telling us that you don't need some person to say what this means. Scripture interprets Scripture. Just the Scripture is going to prove it out. So if I tell you, the Lord shared with me, this is what this means. There's no private interpretation. Remember, because there might be, the other guy says, well, I don't think it means that. Then we got, we divide it. What if Scripture interprets Scripture? You see? So that's the way you look at it. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is given by any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of Elohim spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Notice that. Who was moved by the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Balaam. Remember that. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingered not, and their commandments, commendation slumber not. For if Elohim spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to Tartarus, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spare not the old world, but save Noah and eight persons and preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the wicked, and turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, commanded them, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live sinfully. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, everybody thinks Lot was okay. Lot was messed up. He was messed up. God's righteousness saved him because he knew he still had a seed of righteousness. Notice that. He had a seed of righteousness, which was enough for God. But his life was messed up because he was vexed, Scripture says, by their filthy conversation. It's what he heard all the time. Think about this. Sometimes we miss that about Lot, but Lot was a man in trouble. And it happens with us. If we hang around folks that their conversation is filthy, you're going to get vexed in your soul. That's just the way it is. If you don't believe that, just watch. Just turn on the television and just watch rated R movies all the time. You're going to get vexed. That's just the way it is, because you're letting it in. And it's like the Holy Spirit's ready, and he fights off the first two or three, and it's good. But if you constantly got a bombardment of them coming through the door, eventually it overtakes them. And you got one opponent, you're good. Two opponents, hey, I'm still good. Three, hey, I'm so good, I'm knocking them out, it's good. But then 20, 30 of them flood in. You get my point? You're going to be in trouble. Well, Lot was in that situation. Here he is. He's in this whole town, and not one of them is serving God. He's the gatekeeper. He sits at the gate. And I'm just telling you what Peter picked up here. Maybe we read it, we don't pick that up, but I'm telling you what Peter picked up. He said, man was in trouble. He delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Yahweh knowing how to deliver, though. He knows how to deliver the pious out of temptation, to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Think about that. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before Yahweh, but these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, spare not, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. Notice that. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are. They're spots, is what he's saying. They're spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Think about that. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hearts they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. And then he goes here in verse 15, is what I want to highlight. He says, which forsake the right way and are gone astray, following the ways of what? Balaam. Following the ways of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Here's a man who had the manifestation of God come on his life time and time and time again. He understood God. He said, if God bless, I can't curse. He said, God is righteous. And I mean, he's powerful. He's not man. Think about that. And he loves the wages of unrighteousness. He was rebuked for his iniquity. Dumb donkey speaking with man's voice, pervade the madness of the prophet. Think about this. The guy was blind, but he had manifestation. So when you get watching television, you're watching your favorite on TV, and they say, man, they got the spirit over there. I'm going to tell you. Let me just tell you straight up. They're blind. because they don't know how to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, you're gonna automatically teach the entirety of Scripture. You're not going to just teach on prosperity. Are y'all hearing me? If all you teach on is prosperity, you're blind. You're not seeing clearly. You got to teach the entirety of Scripture. What you need to do, what the church needs to do is sit down, get the Torah out, and read the Torah portions every week and get some balance in their life. But if all my messages is about giving, that's all, you know, we just want everybody to give something. You got to sow a seed in the good soil. Okay, we got that. Well, now tell me something else. Well, if you ask them to tell you something else, they don't know anything else. That's a terrible thing. The church has come to a terrible place. And we'll be judged for it. We will be judged if we don't straighten up. Judgment begins right here. It's not out there. It's not your neighbor's fault. It's right here. We need to get it right. And if we get it right, we'll humble ourselves before God and ask God to give us strength. He will. We got to learn how to walk this thing out. Walking in the Spirit is very important. These are wells without water. He tells us what they are. Wells without water. What's good a well with no water? It's a well. You got a well, but you got no water. I got a well, but it doesn't have water. Well, you know, we got a well. Don't matter. I'm asking you a question. You have a well. I got a well. There's a river of water. No water, though. Talking about rivers and wells and all, and we can sing about the well, but they got no water in it. What good does it do? What does he tell us they are? He says they're wells without water, clouds that are carried with tempests. There's the cloud, boy, it's coming, it's going. There's no rain. What good is the cloud with no rain? To whom the mist and darkness are reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Thank God I escaped. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Oh, if you do this, you're going to be free. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. It sounds like Balaam to me. Speaking on behalf of God, like God said something and God didn't say anything. Remember that. For whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For after they were escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, they again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So the end is terrible. We don't want to be involved in that. For it had been better for them not to have known the ways of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit. Let me see that. I'm sure that's going to be taken out of context at some point. Pastor said, the dog returned to his own vomit. Again. The soul, maybe they can remember this, so I'll emphasize it. And the soul, meaning the swine, the hog, that is washed to her swallowing in the mire. You take the hog and, you know, a hog's a hog, right? So you take the hog and you clean it up and hose it down and wash, put a ribbon on it. And you say, now that hog is clean, it's ready. You turn around. And you look back, and the hog just laying in the mud, going, this feels so good. Could care less about that hose, that blue ribbon. They do what they do. They get back in the swallow. That's what they do. And so that's what he says happens here. You know the truth, you live the truth, and you were doing good because you didn't add to your faith virtue. You didn't realize that you got to walk this thing out before you know it. You're back doing the very thing God got you out of. It's a crazy cycle. And let me tell you, most of the time it's because of pharmakeia. It's this seducing idea that happens. In Jude chapter 1, verse 11, says this, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have ran greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward. What pushed Balaam to do what he did? Reward. He wanted the money from Balak. And perished in gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. That's what is happening. The church has been ravished over the years of people who are feasting and filling themselves and forgetting the people. That's what's happening. You want the truth to be told? How many came here for the truth? That's what's happening. You know, before I can preach about how wrong the world is, we got to figure out what's wrong in the church. If we don't have an example to the church, be an example. And what's happened over the years, the church has basically, and I'll read this again, they are spots in your feast of charity. They feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They have no fear of God anymore. They feed themselves. Clouds which are without water carried about with the winds. Trees whose fruit without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. So I can tell you, you want to know what's going to come? To the church world. I just read it to you. It's going to be a terrible day. We got to get this thing right. You got to be careful. Listen, if the man of God, he claims to be the man of God, and he gets up and tells you, all you need to do is sow the seed. I feel the anointing on me. $1,000 seed. Everybody's going to give $1,000 seed today. Really? That's what's happening in the church world today. What about preaching Christ and Him crucified? What about salvation? And that's what people see. And you want to know why the world's not getting it? They're seeing this stuff as a clown show. It's exactly what it is. To get up on television and talk about this and have millions of people follow this stuff. Unhitch yourself from the Torah. And you got 30,000 people listening to that every Sunday. Are you kidding me? And we got to say something. Something has to be said. But listen, you wonder, well, what is going to matter? We're just little old us over here in Buras. It doesn't matter if it's little. All you got to do is we got to say what the truth is. We can call it little. We can call it whatever we want. But I can tell you, it's wrong to use God's word in order to just increase yourself. It's wrong. And many people fell for that trap over the years. Many people have sent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to television evangelists that lied to them. It was a lie. And it's wrong. The Word of God doesn't tell. And he talked about that would happen. This is what he said. He said, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves. That's what they have no fear of God. If you had any fear of God, you sure wouldn't lie to people. You wouldn't tell them, hey, you want to be healed? Send me some money. Now it's so blatant. I mean, they just come out and say it. I love money. Money, 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 money. That's what I want. I mean, you got some of them saying, money coming to me now. I mean, you ever seen that? Raise your hand if you ever seen that. If you hadn't seen it, don't raise your hand. But if you say, I seen it, I was like, really? It's a terrible thing where the church has come to, but here we are. Now, we either participate in that or we're not. I say there are spots in your feast. He's talking about the church here. Of charities, of love, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds that have no water. They look the part. You can feel stuff from them. You do. You're feeling emotion from them. But they have no water. You're not going anywhere. So you go on and do it. You go on and do it by faith. I'm going to send it by faith. and they're building, $3-4 million homes, flying in jets, and you sitting over here trying to get a ride to church. Trying to pay your trailer note. I figured out today just ought to be the day I say it. Because I wrestled with it to no end. It's like, God, I'm not going to say it unless you remind me. And he did. So I'm doing it. They are wrong. And there'll be a price to pay. Here's the thing that scares me most. Is the innocent people, by the thousands that listen to it service after service. They listen to that garbage. It's literally garbage come out their mouth. It's pollution. And it's wrong. There's so much in this word to talk about. You ask any one of those folks to name seven feast days that God requires us to take part in. They can't name a one. All they know is I'm trying to get my first fruit together. My first fruit. They took the very thing that he talks about in resurrection, representing first fruit, and they're trying to get that together so they can stay in the church. That all has its place, but I can tell you, if you don't teach the entirety of Scripture, you're missing it. We have to be careful with that. And I could cue up some video to show you how crazy it gets out there on the YouTube channels. They're never going to demonetize those channels because it fits right in with what that world wants. They love it. You ever wondered how in the world they can get away with it? To tunes of millions and millions of dollars, unaccounted for. They never get checked by the government. They kind of start these fake checks on TV, show you that, oh, they've been checking them. None of them are going to jail. They ought to go to jail. Because it fits in with the world's system. That's what it does. But the church that really wants the truth, you can barely get folks to go to it. When you start speaking about the truth and it interferes with people's life and their routine, you barely get folks to go and listen to it. Because truth is difficult. It's hard to receive. It challenges you. You're upset in the cart. Everything's going smooth. Why would you do that? Because the truth is so powerful. We need it. It's the only thing that'll set us free. But it's so difficult to get to people. It's very difficult. The truth of God's word. How he says, these are my feasts. Think about it. These are my feasts. Yet we keep other things that he never tells us to do. Ever. Not one time. Not a single verse. Not one single verse. But we do it, and we do it with our whole heart. But what he tells us to do, we don't want to do. We resist what he wants us to do. That ought to tell us something. It ought to say something to us. And then, of course, if you try to tell this to someone else, they in the church, they'll resist it. Preachers will resist it. It's crazy. That's where we are. I want you to think about this. In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 12, it says, and to the angel of the assembly of Pergamos write, these things saith he which had the sharp sword with two edges. Who has the sharp sword with two edges? He's saying something. I know thy works, Yeshua says. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. He's talking to who? Is he talking to the world? No, he's talking to the church in Pergamos. Remember, the angel to the assembly, the church in Pergamon. He says, the one who had the sharp sword with two edges. That's what the word is does. Listen, if you want to speak truth, just speak the word. Right now, I'm praying, God, we want you to come. We want you to come. I said to a man this week, I said, you have no idea what you're asking for. You don't have a clue what you're asking me about. We want you to come. That's dangerous. Because it comes, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I said, it's the Word of God. And I said, when I leave from there, you would have to deny God's Word or change. I don't have any ideas. I don't need to come and give you my ideas. My ideas, maybe they might be good, maybe they not, but my ideas doesn't matter. What I think doesn't matter, but what thus said the Lord's Word says, that's a fact, and it won't change for me or you or anybody else. And listen to what he says. To the angel of the assembly, the church in Pergamos, write, these things saith he would have the sharp sword and two with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Satan's seat? Think about that. And thou holdest fast my name. What? Thou holdest fast my name. In other words, you're doing everything in Jesus' name. What does that mean? Just because a preacher preaches and he says in Jesus' name, if you think that makes it right, you know what Yeshua said? That's the seed of Satan. And there's a way to tell that. You can tell, well, how do we know that? Who knows what? Those who know how to walk in the Spirit. Those who know how to walk this thing out, that's the difference. That's what sets you apart. Those who are making changes in their life, those that admit they're wrong, those who are humble themselves and cry and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, that's the folks that are doing it right. But if you ever feel a need to repent or do anything, then how's there going to be any change? How's your life going to be different? Show me where you added to virtue. Where'd you do these things? And he says, he commands us to do these things. He said, thou holdest fast my name and has not denied my faith. Has not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. I'm not making this up. This is if you want to follow the journey, we're dealing with Balaam, right? And how to walk in the Spirit. I'm just following the Scripture. Now I'm gonna give you every one of them that he's mentioned in. This is the story of his life. He says, But have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Now watch what they stumbled in. Any eating things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. They told them how to defame or how to destroy my feast days. The ones I proclaim, they taught them how to fornicate them. Wow. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Notice that. He says, I hate these things. If God hates it, we ought to hate it. Remember that. If God hates it, we ought to hate it. Because this is the key. Repent, verse 16. Repent or else I will come unto thee quickly. Notice that. Repent. Notice that. That's one of the things that don't get a whole lot of preaching time. And that word repent don't get a whole lot of preaching time. But what do we have to do? He says, repent. If you repent, God says, it'll be okay. But you got to repent. Repent or else I will come quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That's Yeshua. Remember that sword of his mouth. The sword of the mouth is the word of truth. The sword of the mouth is the word of truth. Remember that. Go back to the armor. Go back to the armor. Read the scripture in Ephesians. He's going to come to him with the sword of his mouth. The truth. God is good. Amen. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the assembly. To him that overcome, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in a stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that received it. Hallelujah. How many see that? Listen, he's not talking about all doom and gloom. He's talking about if you want to get it right, you can. But you're not bringing that stuff into the kingdom. It's not allowed there. It's not going to happen. If you want in, you got to get rid of that. That's the message to the church today. That's what we ought to be preaching. We ought to be sharing this with people. But people, the church has got the people where they're comfortable. Every service is good. Every service, man, it's comfortable. Everything's great. But let me tell you, they've been lulled asleep. I mean, thank God. You ought to be thankful that you're hearing what you're hearing today. That you've not been lulled asleep. And listen, here's the thing that we don't want to do, because it don't make you popular. Well, I ain't never got in this thing to be popular. It don't make a difference if you like me or you don't like me. It doesn't make a difference. I'm here as long as the Lord says for me to be here. And as long as I'm doing what God asked me to do, I will preach this gospel. I'm going to preach to the church what the church needs to hear in order for you and I to make it. Because one day when we stand before Him, I'm not going to be said, well, why you didn't tell Him? I don't want to hear that. I'm telling you. I'm letting you know. I'm letting you know how to make it, how to survive this. Because we're in a war. And the war is very real. And that war is not your enemy that's against you. That's a different type of war. The war that you're in is the moment your eyes open, your flesh demands that He's in charge. And He's not. He's not. We know it's not a... You know, we always look at it with the old man's dead. Well, he's dead as long as you keep him under the burial. Because he's zombieing on you. He wants out. I want out. I want it my way. I got to get back to the old. I want it. I want it. And the Spirit of God comes on you and says, no, it's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray today. We're going to find out on Thursday night which one's in charge. Because if your spirit's in charge, you ain't going to say, oh, I forgot. I didn't know a house. You're going to drop on your knees somewhere, somehow, and you're going to pray and reach God, because that's what your spirit wants. That's what it wants. It desires that. It's hungry for it. It wants more. It wants more. It's hungry for it. It's not, I hope he's almost done. I got to go. That ain't your spirit. Your flesh is going. Keep going. Don't show which one's operating right now. Numbers 31, verse 7. Let me tell you what happened to Balaam, so we can finish, get to some spot where I can stop. And they warred against the Midianites, as Yahweh commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the king of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, named Evi, Rakim, Zor, Hur, Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. The prophet. The man that said, the star, a star, can you imagine that? He's not a man that he should lie. Those words, that prophet, they slew with a sword. You know why? He didn't know how to walk in the Spirit. There's some common ground here to those who don't walk in the Spirit. You wind up what? You wind up dead. Saul, dead. Balaam, dead. You think that's going to change? I can tell you a list of people that I'm related to. They didn't learn how to walk in the Spirit, and formicae got them. They wound up dead. I don't know if that bothers you, but it bothers me a whole lot. I'm thinking, God, where are we missing this? We need to see some truth in this. How do we get out of this? It's a trap. How do we pray? You pray that. You know it, and you pray it. That formicae has got to let them go. That's going to be my prayer. If you want to know what I'll be praying on Thursdays, that's just our collective praying. You pray every day, but your collective congregational prayer on Thursday nights at somebody's house. You want your house in there? Get your name put on the list. We'll come to your house and pray on Thursday. But we come in to pray. We're going to tear down the stronghold in Plaquemines Parish, and all the junk that's going on, the evil, the deception that's going on in this parish, this place belongs to God, and we're going to claim that God, from the east, the west, the north, the south, that they give them up. That's what we're praying. Give them up. But Satan, he's not giving them up unless he's demanded to. You got to tell him. You got to give them up. You think he's going to give them up? Why? He's got them. He ain't giving them up. I'm going to tell you why he's not going to give them up. The church. He's got the church. We get free from all the bondage, all the deception, all that. We got to ask the Lord. That we got to add and get better and better. And there's some of the important areas that we need to focus on. Joshua 13, 22. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer. By Joshua's time, he's known as the what? The soothsayer. But when I read to you earlier, he was known as what? The prophet. Did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them? He's talking about that same encounter, that war they were in. He got slain with the sword. So I wanted to just show that to you. Here's the thing. To walk in the Spirit is to commit yourself to Yahweh. To walk in the Spirit is to commit yourself to Yahweh. It's to bear responsibility. How many know we have to bear responsibility? Who's responsible for you? You. Who decides if you have a good day? You. Who decides if you shout hallelujah today? You. So you're in a storm. You know what you're doing? You know what I was reminded of this morning as I was getting ready? He said, let me give you an example. I gave you two examples of those who didn't know how to walk in the Spirit. Let me give you one about a man who knew how to walk in the Spirit. There were two of them. One of them's name was Paul and the other was Silas. Those guys were incredible. They knew how to walk in the Spirit. They grabbed them, snatched them off the street, and beat the living daylights out of them. I mean, beat them bad. Put them in an inner dungeon and said, there you go. Now let your God get you out of this. And no telling how much mocking they was doing them. Let your God, the God you're talking about, he's the Redeemer, and he gets you out. Let him get you out of this dungeon. Think about it. Put them in a sewer plant. That's where the dungeon was, the sewer treatment plant for that town. They were in a sewer treatment plant. There they were, the sewer running in their feet. They in stocks and bonds. And Silas and Paul, there they are. And Paul said, well, ain't no better time than now to walk in the Spirit. Because anybody can shout when the song's being played. Anybody can shout when they got a lot of money in their hand. But right now, we got neither. We got no money. We got no choir. We got no band. All we got is God. And that's all we need. And Paul and Silas started singing. Paul and Silas said, you know what? We got him. That's all we need. They started singing and praising God and heaven. God said, listen to this. Hey, angels, quiet down. You hear what I'm hearing? I got two boys down there know how to walk this thing out. In the midst of struggle and chaos, their life has been beaten to an inch of losing it. Yet the only thing that they got on their mind is not complaining. It's not saying, oh, why me? They're saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And if they're going to give hallelujah to Yah, Yah going to move on their behalf. And he said, I'm going to shake the earth. And he shook the earth. Listen, you got to understand how the earth can shake if he's sitting on top of it. The foundations that connects everything together, he began to shake it. And it says the foundations of that prison begin to shake. And all of a sudden, the doors flung open everywhere. And you think the first thing you'd feel is, we're free. Oh, I'm glad we got out of this. The stocks come off of them, but they didn't go nowhere. They were there because God sent them there. See, we don't want to go when he sends us into the inner dungeon. We don't want no trouble. We don't want no chaos in our life, but that may be where God sends you. Because He wants you to be a light to where He's sending you. We don't want chaos. We don't want struggles. We don't want difficult times. We want it to be nice. Well, you can go sit in a place where they tell you, give me your money and you're going to have it nice, and you're still waiting on it. They give you this false sense that everything's going to be okay. And everybody's smiling and hugging each other. Ain't nobody ever been through anything. Oh, you want to sit somewhere where you got some struggles. You got stuff that breaks and you got to fix it. You got to get through some things. And you got one thing on your mind when you're doing that. Who around here can I witness to? Who can I tell about this incredible God that just shook the stocks and they come flinging off? Who can I tell this? Somebody, and that's what they did. The jailer, you know, he's about to take his own life. He said, you know, I might as well die because they're going to kill me. These guys got loose. They told me to protect them with my life. We might as well kill ourselves. And Paul said, don't do yourself no harm, son. We're here. We're all here. All of us here. All these guys, y'all get back where you're supposed to be. get your stuff together, but we're going to tell you about this good news. And that day changed for that man. Whole family gets saved. Let me tell you, if you want to start seeing that type of thing happen, you got to learn how to walk this thing out. Because you're not being a good example. We're not being a good example when people see us act out when we shouldn't act out. That's not a good example. And so all the ground you covered, you lose every bit of it on the day one. Gone. You got to start over again. Well, until we can get it where we're not up and down, in and out, can't make our mind up, you can't expect anybody else to be that way. Not the ones you've been witnessing to. You say, I've been trying to witness all my life. I don't seem to be able to get no success. You're going to get success when you hang in there and you say, today, the flesh is going to do what the Spirit wants to do. Today, we're not doing that. We're not going to succumb to that. And it's easy to do. Let me tell you, you could be going along. You're singing, you know, you're singing, what's that song you mentioned earlier? Waymaker, miracle worker, bam! The flesh just ran over you, and you get all beside you. You ain't talking about waymaking anymore. You mad at somebody. That's how it happens. I mean, you getting up off the ground, you say, what has happened to me? The flesh run right over you and said, don't you be singing. Today we being mad. Today's a mad day. I'm letting everybody know today I'm being mad. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what happens. Happens all the time. Somebody, I mean, you're driving along, waymaker, miracle worker, why promise keeping. Somebody pulls off and cuts you off. Ah! You start rah! Bam! You went from waymaker to in the flesh. Just like that. That's a terrible thing. We got to watch that. It's not hard. The fight is fighting us to walk in the Spirit. The rest is not you. Listen, if you don't want to fight, just be in the flesh every day. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. But if you really want to fight and work this thing out, you're going to have to work for it. You're really going to have to work for it. You think it was easy for Jesus? You think it was easy for him? Wasn't easy for him. He was up against it. If the Bible says he was tempted, I believe he felt every ounce of the same temptation that I feel today. I feel he felt like that come on him. It's so strong. It was on him, but he resisted it every time. Do you think it was easy for him? It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all, but he fought through it. He made sure that he kept himself in the Scripture. He knew what the Word said. He used it often. What do? Use the Word. Keep the faith. Paul, same thing. To walk in the Spirit is to commit yourself to Yahweh. It's to bear responsibility. It's to pick up your cross daily and follow Him. It's to keep the commandments of Elohim. That's what it is. You want to keep them. You look forward to keeping them. Like this time for our fall feast. I mean, it was incredible. We wanted to do them. You can't wait till Passover comes. You can't wait. I'm so excited about it. How can that be possible? How is it possible to be steeped heavy after years? We're not talking about one day. We're talking about many, many years steeped heavy into doing something the way everybody else did it. And all of a sudden, through God's mercy and His grace, He said, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to change everything about you in a very short period of time, not desired at all. How is that possible? Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not what I'm telling you to do. I never demanded not one person here to do anything. I never set no church rules, no church obligations. You can do whatever you want. I said that from day one when the Lord first revealed this to me. You can do whatever you want. There's no rules here. But if you want to know what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing. Me and my family, we're going to do this. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to trust God. And we're going to teach the Scripture. And we teach the Scripture, it takes you on a journey, because if you're walking in the Spirit, you don't want to do that. It don't even cross your mind to want to do it. You want to do Bible things in Bible ways. That's what you want to do. You desire to do Bible things in Bible ways. That's what He does, and that's what He promises. So, verse 14 of Galatians 5, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Torah is a book of love. That's what it is. It's all about love. But, verse 15, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And that's what happened. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. How do you prevent that? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want to know how to get along? It's not doing everything that a person wants so they'll like you. That only is temporary. To get along, you learn how to walk in the Spirit. That's how you do it. Many people try to gain people's respect, their attention, by what they do for them. Just do something for them. And it can go well. It can be nice. It can be a great relationship at the beginning. But eventually, it goes sour quick. But if you want to learn how to get along so you don't bite and devour one another, He tells us, for all the law is fulfilled in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you want to do it, then this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I hope that I've taught you in this portion how to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It can't happen. You can't do them both together. You can tell when the flesh takes over. Who can tell? Be honest. You can tell. Heart rate goes up. I mean, you ready. You don't do that. You listen. You carefully listen. Take into consideration. And do we all have to work on this? You better believe it. We need to work on it. Because it don't take long. It's always there. Just so you know, you wake up with you every day. I know you're trying to create distance, but it's like when you go to the bathroom, you there. You go to the shower, you there. You go to eat, you there. No matter where you go, you can't get rid of you. You trying to serve God, you there. It's there with you. You got to learn how to walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh the way it is. God's not going to come take you away and leave what? You're there. But He'll help you. How many want Him to help you? Well, maybe we got 6 weeks left. Because I didn't get as far as I thought I would get today. But that's okay. We'll take as long as it's necessary. So we'll start right here next week. We'll catch right back up. I don't even know if I'm letting you out. We're done. Amen. Now, here we go. It's my favorite time. Who here needs prayer for anything? Don't matter what it is.